The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Sin in the sight of God. You are not worthy to receive these 10 commandments.
We're gathered against you, Moses. You take too much upon yourself. We will not live by your commandments. We're free.
There is no freedom without the law.
Whose law, Moses? Yours? Did you carve those tablets to become a prince over us?
Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me.
That's an excerpt from the movie The Ten Commandments. Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments the first time to find the children of Israel already engaged in their idolatry and their debauchery. A little fictionalized version there. The real account, of course, is always more compelling than the movie. We're going to be talking about the real account of the giving of the Ten Commandments with Pastor Tom Baker for the remainder of this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest. He joins us every week to teach a Sunday school lesson. This week on Exodus chapters 19 and 20, he is host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
This giving of the Ten Commandments is actually God fulfilling a promise that he made to Moses way back at the burning bush. Talk about that.
Yes, when God met Moses at the burning bush, he said that he would be taking, that is, Moses, through God's power, the Israelites free from Egypt. And then in verse 12, he says of Exodus 3, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." And that's exactly where we are at in Exodus chapter 20. Every time I read that, I kind of find it interesting that normally you think, okay, what's the sign that you're sending me? Would it be a sign that I can see right now? No, it's not going to have to happen until months after this, and you will be assured that I have sent you because you'll be on this mountain worshiping me. I find that kind of interesting that it met that Moses needed to have faith and trust in that promise that he certainly was being sent by God to deliver Israel from the Egyptians.
So he's brought them to Mount Sinai.
Yes.
And it begins where there in verse 3 of chapter 19, "While Moses went up to God, the Lord called out to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself.'" He starts, before he gives the Ten Commandments and the covenant, he starts by reminding them of what he had done for them. Why is that so important, Tom?
The reason that's so important is because when we get to the Ten Commandments, we will discover that they're grammatically not in what we would refer to as the imperative. They aren't meant at first to be understood as commandments that if you break, you're going to be in big trouble. there's a different connotation, and we'll talk about that when we get to there. But as we did with last week, when they were looking forward to where is their water, where is their bread, where is their flesh, it is God who supplies all their needs. So therefore, God is setting it up that these commandments actually are going to supply needs that the Israelites have. And in fact, they're going to see when they hear the commandments that God already has been supplying these needs, because each of the commandments ought to be read not as an imperative that, boy, you better do this or you're not going to heaven, but rather as a gift from God, that when we disobey them, we're actually rejecting a gift that God has given to us.
They're discussed by God there at the beginning, before he gives the commandments in particular, as his covenant. What does that word mean, and why is it important to understand the Ten Commandments as part of the greater covenant?
One can find no better book to help us understand what covenant means than the book of Hebrews. For in Hebrews, it makes the distinction between the Old Covenant, which is about to be inaugurated in three more chapters. In chapter 24, that is when not only Moses and Aaron, but two prophets and 70 of the elders go up on the mountain and they eat with God. But that covenant is made on a promise by the people rather than just by God. And that promise is, all these things we will do and obey. So a covenant we can understand as a treaty. Another translation for it is testament. So Jesus inaugurates the New Testament, although it does start in Genesis 3:15 with the promise of a Messiah. He inaugurates it, initializes it in 1 Corinthians 11 when he speaks about his body and blood being part of the New Testament. And the distinction between the two covenants is the Old Covenant is partially based on the promises of the people, which they cannot keep. The new covenant is based solely on the promises of God, which, of course, he is faithful and does keep.
Okay, let's talk about that conditional nature of this covenant, because the words are right there in verse 5 of chapter 19. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So there is the condition, and then what would result from their obedience. Talk about that. That's a little foreign to us, but he uses some language there that actually gets pulled back into the New Testament, a royal nation, a kingdom of priests, things like that.
Yes, except in the New Testament, that comes about even though we do not obey him, which we do not, because the new covenant has an aspect to it that's found not only in Jeremiah but in Hebrews, that God will no longer remember your sins. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not omniscient. The word remember in that particular situation refers to an action. Like, if I remember my wife's birthday, it means I'm going to get her a present. So even if I have it in my mind and don't give a present, then people assume I forgot her birthday. Similarly, when God says, I will no longer remember your sin, he's referring to the fact that the curse of the law, and this is really long gospel, that the curse of the law is abrogated, and that curse was, in the day that you sin, death will be the result. Now, it's abrogated for us. That means it's eliminated, but it's not abrogated or eliminated by God, because he had his own son take upon himself our curse, as he said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer is, because you're carrying the sins of the people. Then to get to your question, one way of understanding the paradigm of law and gospel is that the law also has promises, but they're always conditional. there's always an if there. If you do this, then. And sure enough, you just quoted that from verse 5. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, which, of course, they didn't do very long with the golden calf. In contrast to the gospel, that is always an unconditional promise. For example, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will be saved. Now, one would think that, well, see, isn't belief something I have to do? But upon closer reading of the text, we find that that faith is actually a gift from God. It's not something we decide to do, that we will to do, but it's rather a gift from God. And so we're going back to the point that God is going to make it very clear that any benefits or blessings we have, he is always the ultimate source for those. And when we think that we're the source, then we get into trouble.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're looking at the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapters 19 and 20, teaching a Sunday school lesson. When we come back, when the people hear God's command of obedience, they say all that the Lord has said we will do. They don't seem to completely understand what this is all about. We'll talk about that after this. When the Apostle Paul stated, I have become all things to all men, was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
Christ is the one who has borne all your anxieties, has taken them into his person. Every worry, and he crucified it once and for all.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 19 through 20. Tom, the people's response is odd because you said before the break, the covenant is conditional. It's conditioned on their obedience. And then, of course, God is gracious to them regardless of their disobedience in the end. But they say, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Do they understand what's going on?
No, they really believe, as did Erasmus at the time of Luther, that the free will that they thought they had was capable of obeying God. You see, we do have free will or free decision in many temporal things. I can decide what cereal I want, what car to buy, who to marry, what church to attend. But in regard to salvation, no unbeliever has free choice or able to make a free decision. Now, even believers get confused on that sometime because we're going through a time now in our country where people think that they can have a free choice in areas that God clearly has condemned as sinful because they say, well, the Holy Spirit is moving me in that direction. And that is sad to see. So, in reality, they do not know what they are saying.
Now, God tells them to undergo basically a three-day consecration. Then he says, you're going to put a perimeter around this mountain before I call you up, Moses. And no one's supposed to go up there on the mountain, only Moses. And everyone's to stay off the mountain entirely. Even an animal, if it goes onto the mountain, will die. What's the point there?
Yes, even the priests. It reminds me of what happens later on in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah, you know, sees the vision of God. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And what God is doing here, because this is law orientation, he's making it very clear to the people that his holiness is not something that they can grasp or even come into his presence. Now, it finally does happen in Exodus 24 when blood is sprinkled over the people and over the altar, and therefore God is making the point that what will cleanse them is blood. But since it's the blood of animals and not the Christ, it only purifies their flesh so that they can come into the presence of God. It does not yet purify their conscience, which means they don't have to worry about getting punished later, which only the blood of Jesus does. So there can be a purification of flesh, and they can come into the presence of God, but to remain in that presence and have heaven as their home, there needs to be a purification of the conscience, and that will only be done not with the blood of animals, but with the blood of a human being, which Jesus chose to become in his incarnation.
So then the fireworks begins. The mountain is wrapped in smoke and fire, and it talks about the fire going up like from a great kiln. The whole mountain trembled greatly. There was a sound of a trumpet that just kept getting louder and louder. It's a terrible sight. It even scares Moses. What is it about?
Yes, there's an advertisement. I think it's a Ford. And it says it can protect you from everything, and it's driving down the highway. But in front of it is a huge storm with cumulus clouds and lightning, and you can hear the thunder. And the people in the car are smiling. I don't think I would be smiling if I saw that storm coming towards me. You take a look at that storm and multiply it by 1,000 times, and you get a glimpse of what God is doing on the mountain. In other words, the attitude that God wants from his people, and this may surprise us, is one of fear. Why? Because he not only holds the whole world in his hand, he also holds your salvation in his hand. And therefore, he's trying to make it very clear to these people, you really want us to think that you're able to obey what I'm going to share with you right now? Look at me. Look at my power. And they even get to the point that they go to Moses and they say, you know, please, can you calm him down? And, of course, that doesn't happen.
After the third day, probably the third time, Moses has to go down and warn the people to stay off the mountain. He brings Aaron up with him, and then it kind of cuts in chapter 20 straight to God speaking to Moses and Aaron, and he begins the Ten Commandments per se, saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Why is that an important beginning?
That is extremely important because it changes the commandments that follow from imperatives to actually future indicatives. What do I mean by that? He doesn't begin by saying, "I'm the Lord your God, and by the way, would you like to come up to heaven with me? Well, here are the commandments you need to obey." No. He says, "I am the Lord your God." So every religion in the world that looks at its commandments as a way of getting God to be their God, whether it's Allah or whoever they call him, does not understand Exodus 20 verse 1. He already is your God. And to the Old Testament people, he is already their God because he brought you out of the house of slavery. For us in the New Testament, he already is our God because he died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead for our justification. So here is how I paraphrase this section, so it doesn't look like there's a set of commandments we have to obey in order to get God to become our God. I read it this way. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. Therefore, you shall not make for yourself a carved image," etc., etc. In other words, when we realize that God already is our God, who has already saved us, either through the Red Sea or the cross of Christ, then these commandments become future indicatives in this sense, then these are the things that you will do. For example, I always hated taking out the garbage and doing the dishes when I was a kid, but as I grew older and my love for my parents went deeper, when my mother was busy or at work, then I was enabled to do the dishes and take out the garbage with a free and willing spirit because of my love. The commandments do finally become imperatives because we don't have the kind of faith to believe that God is truly our God.
Now, the first commandment he gives is, "You shall have no other gods before me," which seems to follow perfectly on his pronouncement of, "I am the Lord your God." It seems rather obvious. If he's the Lord their God, they shouldn't have any others. But he does need to describe that first and foremost. Why is that the most important thing?
The reason the first commandment is the most important commandment is it is impossible to break any of the other commandments without breaking the first one. For example, I'm driving down the highway and I see a guy has a flat tire and he's about a half mile ahead rolling his tire toward the exit, but the car is back there with the trunk open, and I stop and I look in the trunk and there's a tool chest. So I take the tool chest and I put it in my car. Now, we would think, okay, that's stealing, that's disobedience. But I remember one of the first lectures I ever heard at Concordia Seminary back in 67 was by Robert Bertram. He was very good when it came to law and gospel, and he made a distinction between the commandments and sin. He said, you know, sin is not just disobedience, because then all we have to do is obey, and we would take care of our sin. It's actually a form of unbelief that we don't believe a promise. And you see, when I take that tool chest, and this would be very good to get across to the Sunday school children, I am saying to God, by the way, God, you made a mistake. You gave my tool chest to this individual. I am now correcting your mistake, which went to Bertram's third level of what sin is, and that was idolatry. Every sin is a form of idolatry with me as God. And therefore, that's why the first commandment is broken every time any of the other nine commandments are broken, because we have decided to become God. We're correcting God's mistake, and therefore we're saying to God, no, like Adam and Eve did, I need to become like God, and you need to listen to me rather than vice versa.
So it isn't just one commandment among many that just so happens to be first, because, you know, something's got to go first. This is really the controlling commandment.
Absolutely. As Martin Luther's meaning, we should fear, love, and trust in God above anything else, which means above sinning against our parents or stealing or coveting or whatever any of the commandments point to. And so it's really important to understand that the first gift God gives us is Himself. We do not earn it. We do not merit God. He first becomes our God, and then He shares with us, okay, here are the things. It would be like me saying to my children, okay, kids, I am your father, this is your mother, therefore you will have a free meal every day. In fact, you'll have three free meals. You will get free clothes. You will get a free bed. Now, their sin occurs when they refuse to wear the clothes or refuse to eat the food we give them, or they want to sleep somewhere else or something. It rarely happens, but it does occasionally take place. And that's how I look at these commandments. Tremendous gifts from God that we throw back in His face every time we sin.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, another 10 minutes with him. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Ten Commandments, on to the Second Commandment in Exodus chapters 19 and 20.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service, every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, Etc. November 4th through 10th, and join us for a live broadcast from CPH on Thursday afternoon, November the 5th. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale online and in store, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November 4th through 10th.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Folks, you still have until tomorrow, November the 10th, to take advantage of reduced prices, sometimes radically reduced prices, during the Concordia Publishing House fall warehouse sale, both online and in store. You can find out more at cph.org or visit the CPH bookstore in St. Louis at 3558 South Jefferson. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale, both online and in store. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapters 19 and 20. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Tom, before the break, you were talking about the first commandment in terms of a gift. The first gift that God gives us is himself. Can you do that with the other Ten Commandments, beginning with, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God?
Yes, my first year in the ministry, I did a whole Bible study on how the commandments were really gifts. Because when you see them as gifts, then it's not just an act of disobedience. It's actually an act of unbelief and idolatry when you disobey them. For example, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they had the ability not only to talk to God, but for God to talk to them. And then they were removed from the Garden of Eden. Guess what Commandments 2 and 3 do? Commandment 2, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God gives us his name, either God or Yahweh or Jesus or the Christ or our Father who art in heaven or the Holy Spirit. And so we regain the gift of being able to speak to God. But where does God speak to us? It's Commandment 3. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And Luther was brilliant here in what the meaning was. Remember, he didn't say to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy means that we don't do any work on the Sabbath day. No. He said we should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold to it and gladly learn it. In other words, the point he's making is what the Sabbath day is God's opportunity to speak to us. And therefore, in Hebrews, which, by the way, is one of the readings in the three-year season, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You do not have to go to church in order to get to heaven. It's a free gift. But who would not want to go home at Christmas to mom and dad or to your grandparents to visit with them, to thank them for everything they've given, to exchange presents? Coming to church is like a Christmas party because it is a back taste of the Garden of Eden, and it is a foretaste of the heaven that we're going to. So when we become delinquent and think it's more important not to go to church, what we are doing is we're throwing away the gift of God coming to us and speaking to us as well as acting on us in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. One of the other gifts that was lost in the Garden of Eden was authority. Adam did not use his authority. He was standing right beside Eve, according to the Hebrew text, and didn't say a thing when the serpent said, "Eat the fruit and you'll become like God." And Eve did not listen to the authority of her husband, and so what does God do? He restores authority in our father and mother. And once more, the word father doesn't refer just to our regular biological father and mother, but also our adopted, our father in the government, those are rulers placed over us, and our father in the church. These are all ways in which God continues to bless and keep us. So one of the assignments I would like the teachers to do, and I'll tell you, the Growing in Christ, if you have the teacher's guide, has a wonderful chart with each commandment listed. And before I would show it to the children, you can go through and it has two columns. What sin does God want to show through this commandment? And I would go a little further and say, what unbelief is behind our sin? And the second column, what gift does God want to protect by giving us these commandments? And so the teacher can go through each of the commandments before showing them the chart, if shown at all, and see if the children can begin to realize that God is really the foundation responsible for all that we receive, our blessings and the many good things we receive in the temporal realm as well as in the spiritual realm.
Would you speak briefly about how, and this is not so much the text of Exodus 19 and 20, but the way that these have come down to us, especially as we teach our children, as we teach the Sunday school children, the commandments are divided into two tiers, so to speak. The first three dealing with God, yeah, and the others dealing with the neighbor, usually called first and second table. How would you explain that?
Yes, for the longest time, it says that Moses brought down two tablets. So I thought the first three commandments dealing with God, which we call 1, 2, and 3, were on the first tablet, and the second tablet had the ones dealing with our neighbor. But since then, I've learned that the text is pretty clear that each of the tablets were written on the forefront and on the backside, and that the one tablet was a copy of the other tablet. So they were identical, each having both ten commandments or 10 guidelines or 10 consequences of how we will act as we will in heaven when we realize that God is our God. Now, in regard to the first three commandments, these were particularly for the people of Israel. These were not for the nations because they couldn't take the name of the Lord thy God properly, made it useful. They didn't know it, nor could they worship a God they didn't know. But the last seven commandments were for the neighbor. And so this is another good long gospel thing to keep in mind, that obviously your works don't make God your God. He already is your God by an action he does. And what is that action? By taking them through the Red Sea or by dying on the cross for their sins. So God first makes the first move. And if you want to know how to thank him personally, that means you regard him as God, you use his name properly, and thirdly, you use worship to hear his message to you. But then the rest of the commandments are not ways in which you get to heaven. No, they are ways in which God uses you to reach out to the neighbor with the blessings that God has for them that he gives through you. And that's a really important distinction to make.
So a couple final quick questions here. The people's response at the end of the giving of the Ten Commandments is just abject fear. They just say, we don't want to hear any more from God. We've heard enough from God. How would you explain that response with about a minute?
Well, the one thing the commandments do is the same thing that happened when I was a kid. I had rules in the household. If I had my way, I would have played baseball past 5 o'clock and not been home in time for supper. I would have played till 7. I enjoyed it so much. Every time we hear a command or a rule were to follow, the old Adam just growls within us. If you can try this with your children. Tell them not to go into a certain room in the house and go outside for about 10 minutes. I guarantee you, depending on their age, they're going to go in that room. You see, when we hear something that we're told to do, our ego rises within us. Our self-interest rises. Our curiosity rises, whatever it is. And that's why the people, well, what are you telling us all these rules? We are free. We want to do what we want to do. And that's a very important lesson to help the children understand why so many people, even among Christian churches today, are going against the clear third use of the law as God tells us what his will is for us today.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel next week. Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on worship in the tabernacle. Will be in Exodus chapter 40. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on pop culture. Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting is going to be our guest. We're going to talk about social media. You know what we're talking about. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the various ways that we interact with one another all day long. We're going to talk about its impact not only on us as a church, but also on us as Christians. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say there. Then we'll also be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about a girl restored to life and a woman healed. That's all tomorrow on Issues, Etc. God made these commandments because, and they're not arbitrary commandments, they are part and parcel of who he is. He is revealing himself in these commandments. The fact that this self-revelation is a cause for fear in sinners only demonstrates our need for God to further reveal himself in the personal work of Jesus Christ and through the gospel of forgiveness as he does. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin; Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin; Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois; Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland; Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming; Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington; Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois; Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas; St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois; Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin; Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois; Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.